Hello and welcome to the AHB Beef and Lamb podcast. This month, Sarah Pick talks to Johnny Hames, our strategic farmer in Plymouth, about being part of the Strategic Farm Network and the recent Suckler Cow Nutrition event, which was held at West Sherford Farm.
Today, we have been down in Plymouth with Johnny Hames, who is one of our strategic farms. And the event today has been focusing on suckler cow nutrition, particularly around the dry cow period. So I'm here with Johnny. So thank you very much for talking to me this afternoon. Can you just tell us a little bit about the farm and the business?
So I farm just over 500 acres. It's split into two units. One is on a high level stewardship, so it's all in permanent grass and has been for several years. And the other one, our home farm, is the other half, about 250 acres. And 160 acres of that has been arable, and the rest has been permanent pasture.
Okay, and can you just tell us a little bit about the cattle enterprise?
So we have 100 suckler cows,
yeah.
And we've been rearing all the calves and selling them at as store cattle,
right,
into Exeter market at about 18 months old.
Okay, so you don't finish anything on the farm?
Nothing's finished.
Okay, and you don't have any sheep?
No sheep. Sometimes we have some sheep on sort of temporary sheep keep basis,
yeah,
but
yeah,
we haven't done this year.
Okay. Brilliant. So do you rear your own replacements or do you buy those in?
Historically we've bought them in,
yeah,
as bulling heifers, and because I had difficulty getting hold of the breed and stock with good quality health status, I bought some calves which I reared last spring, and I was planning to put them to the bull next May.
Yeah, brilliant. And what breed are they then?
Those were out of extensive Kiwi cross cows.
Oh, okay.
And crossed with a I had some Angus crosses and some Hereford crosses.
Right. And what bull do you run?
We run blonde bulls, and I bought a Angus bull this year.
Okay.
Just because, because I had to get rid of a couple of the blonde bulls for different reasons, and I wanted to try something that its genetics may do better off grass, have better growth rates on off grass. So
yeah,
you know, that's yet to be seen, but we'll see what happens.
Lovely, it sounds like a good plan. So why did you decide to get involved with Strategic Farms?
I wanted to make the business more profitable, basically. And I didn't know how to do that.
Yes.
I needed some help.
Yeah. And what are the sort of things then that you've implemented over the last year? Obviously, Strategic Farms, it's only in its first year,
yeah,
and it is a two-year programme. So what are the sorts of things you've started to make changes to?
So the programme started in autumn 2017.
Yeah.
Spring of this year, we put in place a rotational grazing system at Saltram. So I was rotating the cows in the group, rotating a group of youngsters. So we were, they got used to electric fencing. I was using a lot of electric,
yeah,
fencing, and we were moving them every 3 days. And we were measuring grass on AgriNet.
Oh, brilliant. How often are you measuring the grass?
I was measuring weekly, and then we hit the drought in sort of middle of July, earlier than that, probably actually end of June, and I sort of gave up measuring, and then I started again at the sort of end of August,
yeah,
after we had the rains in mid August.
Yeah. So did you start off small then with the rotational grazing? Because I know it's quite a scary thing to do, is to set it up. So did you decide to go with a small group and just gradually introduce it, or did you go hell for leather and do it across?
Well,
I
suppose it depends on how many groups you got.
Yeah.
And I kept it to a small number of groups. We only had three groups to start off with, and
okay,
then two groups. So although there were lots of cattle, I had 150 youngsters in one group,
yeah,
and 100 cows and their calves in another group. Although it sounds a lot, you know, because they were in big groups. It just meant things were a bit simpler.
That's it. And how often were you moving those?
So depending, we sort of, I sat down with Lupo,
who's
my consultant, and we had a plan as to, you know, roughly how many cows I had in a group, what their requirements would be, what their demand for grass would be. And then we had a plan of how we split the fields. We had a plan of where the water would be, how I could split the water easily. So put the electric fence either side of a trough, for example.
Just to make it as easy as it is.
And actually, if you've got bigger groups, it means less splitting up.
Yes. So how did you manage that with the 100 cows in the bulling period?
So this year, I put all three bulls out together with the cows in May, and I was a bit worried about it, but actually they ended up best of mates.
So, really?
Yeah.
So there was no fighting?
No, they were... actually, I had a young bull, which I put in first, because he was a bit frisky. And I thought, well, he'd tire himself out for a few days before I put the other older boys in. And when I put the older boys in sort of a week after that youngster, and the youngster was absolutely knackered. And he was just like, I can't be dealing with any of this. Just you boys get on with it. And the other two got on with it. And then I've, you know, since that, when I took him out, I had him in the field together, and they...
No
bother at all. So I think hopefully we'll see where that happens about tightening my calving pattern in the spring.
Yes, yeah, lovely. And you did touch on the fact that obviously we've had quite a difficult year weather-wise. How have you managed that here?
So I think I get told it was a hard year to start rotational grazing, but my sort of return to that is that it was probably the best year I could have started, because if I'd been continuous grazing as I'd done the previous year, I would have run out of grass, and I wouldn't have any grass, and I couldn't have held that number of cattle on that area. So I'm very pleased I started rotational grazing this year, and it's been a real testament to it. We put the cows, we were on a rotation, we put the cows into the grasses that we hadn't grazed, and although they did suffer on condition, both the cows and the calves, I didn't have to spend anything on feed.
That's good. And you did say today in your event that the calves grew at 1.1 kilograms per day to weaning.
Yeah, so it wasn't, although I weaned them a month earlier, they still did that, which is only a touch lower than the previous year.
Brilliant. So like you said, one of the things you did was to wean the calves earlier to try and cope with the lack of forage. Is there anything else you did?
I weaned the calves earlier, and we culled some cows which were not in calve, or I had some problems with like lameness and things. So we culled some cows in end of July. That eased the pressure.
Yeah. And in your event today as well, you were just talking about the suckler efficiency that you're looking at. So you're looking at some of your heavier cows and seeing what calf weight they're producing. Can you just explain a little bit about that?
So I'm aiming to get the calf weight to 50% of the cow weight at weaning. And at the moment, I'm about 41%.
Okay.
So in order to try and get more like 50%, I want to reduce the weight of my cows. So instead of having an average of 750 kilo cows, on more like 500 kilo cows.
Because like you said, through weighing them, you've noticed that those big cows are producing as much calf weight as the smaller cows. So you might as well have a smaller cow that probably doesn't cost as much to feed, and you can have more of them. So that
exactly,
makes a lot of sense.
More per hectare.
Yeah. And you've also drilled some kale and turnips this year, so
the arable ground we've sort of taken back, I put about 60 acres of forage crops in, which is double turnips, forage rape and kale, and I think that was I think I would have done it anyway, but I definitely did it knowing that we were going to be short on fodder.
And how did you sow that then?
We drilled it with an iron bock.
Right.
So just scratched the seed in, and then I rolled it in with the Cambridge rolls, almost straight after the combine, and we were lucky enough to have a little bit of rain on it just after I sowed it.
Brilliant, and it's come through.
Yeah, it's come through reasonably well. We had some problems with a fly larvae, although I didn't end up spraying it.
Yeah.
But so although it took a knock, it's actually recovered okay, and we've got we measured the dry matter, and I can't give you the figure off the top of my head, but it was good, and we've put some decent silage, which we cut at the end of September, through the forage crops, and we'll just strip graze that with some young stock through the winter. So I'm hoping to get about 3 months from, well, it's the 6th of November today, so I'm hoping it will last until into February.
That's it. So it's all about planning ahead of what you're going to do to try and reduce the impact of the lack of forage this year. So today's event is really focused on suckler cow nutrition, and we had Alex Corbishley from the University of Edinburgh down to speak at the event, and he did some testing here, didn't he? He took blood samples of the cows about a month before they calved, and then took a blood sample of the calf before it was a week old to see if the passive transfer had been successful. So basically, if the calf had got enough colostrum and immunity from that colostrum. What did those results show, and is there anything you've learned from that?
So what surprised me was the number of calves that are getting, you know, no transfer of immunity or partial transfer. I think it was 1 in 3, is what he said, had partial transfer.
And that was across the study,
across the study. Mine was a bit better than that, but I think what I took from it is the different quality of artificial colostrum you can get, because I've just been buying, you know, relatively cheap stuff, and I thought it was fairly regular what you can buy, but the difference is really pronounced, and it, you know, what's the point of giving them something that's not really going to do the job you want it to, and making sure it's making sure they've got that quantity and quality in, you know, within that 2 hours of birth.
That's it. It's key, isn't it? So just to finish off then, what are your targets for next year?
So
what do you think you're going to change? Are you going to change anything, or are you just going to keep playing with the rotational grazing?
So I'm going to keep going with the rotational grazing. This year I've only concentrated on the Saltram, so I've had one platform, I suppose, one grazing platform. I'm going to bring West Sherford into that next spring, across the grassland, because I planted in the autumn about 90 acres of herbal lays. So we'll have to evaluate in the spring to see what extra headage I need to be able to graze that, and our rotational graze across West Sherford as well.
Yeah, and do you have a target of how many cows you want to get to, or?
I don't really. I mean, my aim is to farm profitably, sustainably, without killing myself, really.
Yes.
Easily. So I don't want to be buying loads of cows and finding that I'm run ragged.
That's it.
I just prefer to, you know, have a decent profit and have a life as well.
Yeah. No, that's a great answer. So thank you very much for speaking to me this afternoon and for hosting the event. It's
thank
been
you.
A great day.
For more information about our Strategic Farm Network, visit beefandlamb.ahdb.org.uk. Thanks for listening.